Every year, near the beginning of the Exalted, which we heard so beautifully tonight, are these words: "This is the Passover of the true Lamb of God, by whose blood the homes of the faithful are hallowed and protected." During the service, later on, always at the Easter Vigil, we read the story of the Exodus. We read it because, of course, there is a deep connection between Pharaoh and Pilate, between Exodus and Easter. Jesus' Last Supper, of course, was a Passover meal, the same supper by which the Israelites for centuries had been remembering that Exodus. Paul says, "Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast." From the very earliest days of the church, the three-day solemn observance from Holy Thursday to Easter Sunday was called the Pascha, which is Hebrew for Passover. It is the Christian Passover. St. John of Damascus wrote a wonderful hymn back in the 7th century that sort of brings it together. "Come, ye faithful, raise the strain of triumphant gladness. God has brought his people forth into joy from sadness. Loosed from Pharaoh's bitter yoke, Jacob's sons and daughters led them with unmoistened foot through the Red Sea waters." Easter is the second, the final Exodus. In the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, God has led his people from slavery to sin and death to the freedom and joy of forgiveness and eternal life. There's one part of that story that we read that I truly like, and I love it that the reading begins there. And actually, that's the sentence before the reading began. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to turn back and to camp between Migdol and the sea. Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness is closing in on them.'" Now, maybe you've had the experience with the GPS that I have. That alien-sounding voice comes out of the speaker and tells you to make a turn at the next corner. But you instinctively know that there is an abutment there, or that there's going to be a wrong way on a one-way street. The Israelites must have been thinking, "This doesn't seem right at all. The Lord doesn't bring the Israelites out of Egypt by the normal route. He brings them by a roundabout way that makes no sense to anyone. The Lord leads them into an indefensible position from which there is no way out. There is no exit. The Egyptians coming at them from the land with their backs to the sea. It's tactical nonsense." And of course, they're all terrified. And for the first of many times, they complain to the Lord, "What have you done bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we tell you back in Egypt, let us alone so that we can serve the Egyptians? It would be better to die in Egypt than to die out here in the wilderness." Now listen to Moses. You won't find anything that Moses says that's something like the Hollywood version, because it's not heroic enough. It's not something that Charlton Heston would say. Charlton Heston is too busy delivering the Israelites himself. It only makes sense if you read it in the believing community. "Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. The Egyptians who you may see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still.'" It's only after those stunning words that Moses, at God's command, lifts up his hands and the sea flees before the mighty winds that come. There's a song in another movie version of this Exodus story, The Prince of Egypt. The song is, "Miracles can happen if you believe." That sounds great too, doesn't it? It sounds like it depends on us, but that's not what the story says. It's precisely the opposite. The people didn't believe. They complained in terror. They said, we're lost. Moses didn't ask them, "Now have faith in the Lord." He said, "Shut up. Shut up and see what God is going to do. The Lord will fight for you if only you be still. Now there's a Bible verse that I think we all should tuck away in our memory bank. The Lord will fight for you if you will only be still. When you are shut up in the wilderness, when God seems to have led you into an impossible dead end, at times of disappointment and frustration, in times of guilt and failure, in times when there seems no way out whatsoever, the Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still. The African American church has taken that statement and turned it into something of a chant. Martin Luther King used to say it. Jesse Jackson used it as the title of his book on the civil rights movement. God makes a way out of no way. God makes a way out of no way. That's the message of Exodus. That's the message of Easter. You see the connection, of course. While it was still dark, the Sabbath was over, the women bought their spices, and then the next day they trudged in the darkness to the tomb. Their hopes, their dreams were dashed. Their only purpose was to anoint the body of their lost master, on whom they had pinned their hopes for the future. And they didn't even know if they were going to do that because they didn't think they would roll the stone away. Meanwhile, the disciples were gathered back at the upper room like a family gathers after death. Guilt, fear, depression, hopelessness settled over them like a pall. They had nowhere to turn, nothing they could do. Their backs were to the wall. The only future they could see was a future of darkness and futility. It certainly wasn't their faith that made Easter happen. It wasn't even on the radar screen. God made a way out of no way. Just like God led the Israelites into a place in the wilderness that shut them in, God led the disciples, and God led the women, and God led the whole world to a place of utter darkness and hopelessness. Because it's in the wilderness, the howling wilderness, with Pharaoh and all his host coming at us and our backs to the wall, that we realize who God really is. And it's in the darkness of Good Friday, when the sun refuses to shine, and when the Son of God cries out his God-forsakenness to a seemingly empty heaven. There's only one thing that can save us. The powers of this world have their way. Pharaoh had his way. Satan may succeed in crucifying the Lord of glory, but our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he makes a way out of no way. In our world, the last word for you and me will be death. There will be a moment when every escape route is cut off. The body shuts down, the green line on the monitor flies flat, the heart's convulsed by an infarct, or the brain by a stroke. When the moment of death comes, we are powerless before its onslaught. And there are thousands of little deaths that lead the way to it. Betrayal, and failure, and divorce, and depression, and disease. And these are the times leading up to the time when there seems no way out. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there is another power at work in the universe. And this power is so great that Pharaoh must do his bidding. This power is so great that even Satan must ultimately accomplish his purpose and not his own. He has the power to turn evil to good. He has the power to make a way out of no way. He is the God who bent down that night and breathed life into the dead body of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that death was rent like a Kleenex. When all the ways of escape are cut off, when the whole world seems shut up in the wilderness, when you have utterly failed, when you feel closed in with nowhere to go, and when the time comes when you too lay helpless before the creeping darkness. People of God, remember these words. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still. He will make a way out of no way. And we know that that's true because of what the angels said to those women who were in that place of no hope at all. He is not here. He is risen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.